Amen. Turn over 280. I am thine, O Lord. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told its love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope and be loyal, be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer with thee, my God, and commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross that narrow sea. They're the heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, near, let's all stand. Let it cross there thou hast done. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Amen. Brother Colin, could you help me this evening? Remember Brother Mark. Create in me a clean heart, me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Salvation and create a right spirit within me.
sing it one more time.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Spirit within me, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to 311 in B flat. I'll Fly Away. Amen.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. I'll bring thy hallelujah by and by. I'll fly away. Shadows of this life have flown, I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars have flown. I'll fly away.
Claim this evening? Glory. Amen. Let's go to 210. I guess that's a C, isn't it? When I see the blood this evening. Christ our Redeemer.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. And I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. All he has promised, that will he do. Washed in the fountain, open for sin.
of love. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there, each one receiving justly his due. Hide in the saving, sin-cleansing blood, and I will pass, will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, compassion, oh boundless love, oh loving kindness, faithful and true, bring peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. Let's go down to G. Amen. We'll go to Feel Like Traveling On, number 24. G. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Its glittering towers of sun outshines. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let's all stand. Let others seek a home below. I feel like traveling on. Which flames fire and waves on below. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling. The Lord has been so good. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Number 87, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to a land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all a while with a song and a smile. Feel my way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon this race will be o'er and I'll travel no more, but abide in a home above. Let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Feel my way every day with love. Feel my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all a while with a song and a smile. Feel my way every day with love. We'll change rooms. Keithy. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart this evening. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted, shining in the light of your glory.
Amen.
Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy,
amen.
Holy, holy, holy,
do you love him?
To see you.
Amen and amen and amen. I believe he'll make a way if you really want to see him. I believe he'll take care of it. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading on Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to John 4. Ephesians 1, John 4. Remember, Bible study this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock. Come and be with us. And then remember, Brother David Gadman will be here with us this coming weekend on the 8th. They're preaching for us. And then remember, Brother Joe Green will be with us on the 11th on Wednesday. So just remember these and just, you know, come and let's have a good time in the Lord. Because we always look forward to it. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 1 and John 4. Remember all the other announcements? You got plenty of them. They're downstairs on the announcement of what the things that are coming up and the events and all. So just, you know, just read them and, you know, you can see what we need to be doing that weekend because it's going to be a good time in the Lord. We always do have a good time anytime in the Lord. I do. I'm always, you say to me, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing wonderful. Well, that's the way I feel. It don't matter how bad I'm hurting. I'm feeling wonderful. I'm just glad to be here. Amen. So remember this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the grace and your love and time that you would give an opportunity to your people that they would be able to come together and fellowship a little around your word, and that you'd speak to our hearts and our lives that we may all be gathered together in you. And Lord, we pray that you would just reach down tonight in your love and heal the sick and deliver the downhearted, Lord. Lift us up. Remember the aged ones, Lord. Give us energies and courage and guidance and love and understanding to move on with you, Lord. We love you and we thank you. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts and guide each one of us and keep us. Remember Brother Benny there, Lord. Remember the others that we pray for continually and just asking you to help each one. Guide us all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1 that we've been reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure, what? Of his own will. In other words, his purpose and everything involved. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom ye have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now remember, I told you this covers the entire plan of redemption. So if you notice, we took verse 4 and 5 coming into choosing, you know, and then predestinating. And then we'll move on in moving toward other verses, because now you're going to be verse 7. You know, you're going to get redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now you're coming over on the other side of the line. We won't get there tonight, but I'm just saying that to look at the scriptures, because now you're coming to a point that you need a Savior. All right? Up here, it looked like everything's wonderful and great, and that is. But then down here, something else starts being involved. To whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according. Now going right back up to where you start at, right? Going back up into the eternities, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Remember, Jesus never come to give us an inheritance. He come to pay the price or to bring it to us. Inheritance was what? Eternal life. Before the foundation of the world. Okay, see, now you're going backwards and forth. All right? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after what? After you trusted it. After what? After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with what? That Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, let's go over to John 4, and everybody knows the background story of who this is and the coming down, you know, of the woman there, and you know, and at the well, and all of the things coming down. So we'll go to verse 25. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou to the woman? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I thank God for his word, don't you? Because that is the wonderful part, is for his word. All right? We left off Sunday afternoon kind of in a phase, and we'll pick that up in a minute and try to carry on. But you remember a week ago, I guess, or when it was, I was kind of in talking to you about where Brother Branham said, you know, they asked him a question, will an illegitimate child go in the rapture? And he stated, you know, well, of his point, he said, no, he said, not an illegitimate child. He said, I can't see that would be a predestinated seed. All right? And I told you my thoughts there. And, you know, I believe it, that I believe, and I've taught you from the very beginning, that I don't believe God is going to, you know, an illegitimate child is one situation. I went through and explained that. But I explained it the best way that I know. Because he said all babies go to heaven, so we don't have to worry about it. But an illegitimate child, now remember, there's no telling how much illegitimate all of us are. So we don't have no running around and bragging about nothing about it. We just take it like it is. And could, you know, we could check our lineage and might find out we're totally illegitimate. Like I always say, you know, the mama's the only one that knows for sure. The daddy don't know. You know what I mean? You know, the mama knows for sure. But the daddy can be two or three different people, you know, because there's problems. And you say, well, now, you're talking about my mama. No, I ain't talking. I'm talking about everything, just normal life, okay? That's the way it goes. But see, what did I go on to say to you? I said, I don't believe that God will take a mother and father in the rapture and leave a baby behind. I've made that statement from the beginning that I believe it, all right? Now, but I made the point that if you are an illegitimate child, what does it matter? See? Because that's where the scripture says, you know, you don't eat the mamas, but the family don't eat grapes and the teeth, you know, and all. It's a different situation now. See, if I was totally illegitimate, it wouldn't make no difference to me. I'd still believe in the atonement. And the atonement would take away my illegitimacy to put me in the rapture. Because if not, what can you depend on to put you there? Well, I believe my mom and daddy was right. Okay, that's fine. But what about way on back? You know, they did have at least grace enough under the law after 10 generations that you could come back. All right? And that was what I was trying to make, that statement that I believe that if I found out I was illegitimate, I'd say, don't change me. You know, bastard born, that doesn't change me a bit. I believe in the atonement making the price for me to where that I can believe it. See, I'm above the age of accountability. Now, under the age of accountability, you got a problem because they can't be, you know, doings with it. And that's why the prophet said that he didn't believe it. In other words, all babies is not going in the rapture. That would be a different thing. Well, you know, I've made that statement for 25 or 30 years and taught that is what I believe. Well, I never did try to find any statements, but Brother Joe back there, Brother Canada, he found one. I want you to read it. So go ahead and let's pull this one up and just let you read what Brother Branham had to say on this topic that I'm talking about. Right. This is off of the message, Thy House, Tifton, Georgia. He said, all right, Jimmy, have you got it? Then, my boy, brother reads a question. When the rapture takes place, will all believers' families, wife, and children go? They are in faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, not just everybody. right? Mom and daddy, Christians, not just everybody now, because he ain't explaining that. Watch. Yes, yes. Will all the family go in the rapture? See, yes, see. Now, if you notice, the rapture is going to be a universal thing. I made that statement from my own thoughts about it, and I'm sure that I heard that tape no telling how many times. So who was the one that answered the question? So then there's the answer that should be to where that he would say, will the babies go with the mamas and daddies if the mom and daddy goes in the rapture? Yes. Because I just can't see God leaving the baby here, you know, when the mom and daddy's right and leaving. That's okay. So I'm glad Brother Joe found that. He finds a lot of things for me. I'll make statements and he'll come in the office and say, look what I found. You know, so we find where the prophet had to say. Okay. Now, what I want to do tonight is try to run over real fast with a lot of quotes to get where we were Sunday and then speak a little bit about this part that we had left off Sunday, and then we'll have a week off, you know, and it'll be a time and a Wednesday and things, and it'll give you time to think over things and understand. Because what have we been doing now? We've been talking about this man of Genesis 1, 26 and 27 being God in another form, creating man in his own image, all right, bringing the man forth and having him there before the foundation of the world, not just as to say in the mind of God. The next message will be that we'll be breaking down the mind of God going from eternal to time in the message, see, to break it down on the mind of God and how he deals in what he's doing. But we're still in eternity on this message tonight, so hold on to it because we haven't got down out of heaven yet. We're up in the heavenly places, and we took it there Sunday, you know, covering the things that the prophet said about. And we took chosen, you know, in him. And what did we do? Talking about the choosing and the predestinating. Because that's what we read in Ephesians. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Well, then by doing that, he could predestinate. That's verse, that's the next verse, all right? He could predestinate because he already had done the choosing. Now, don't put the predestinating back before the choosing. That's why I love the scripture. It says there in the Ephesians that we just read that we were chosen in him. See? Before the foundation of the world, all right? Then was predestinated. See, that way he could do it without it being any problems of later on somebody saying, well, you didn't give me a change. No, we'll get to that when we come to earth. But as far as God is concerned, see, and we went through those things, that where the prophet says the thoughts of God are eternal, all right? And being those thoughts are eternal, he said it's not simply like a man with a blueprint that one, you know, that he's drawn out, that one day will be translated into substance and form, but they're already real and eternal, and part of God. Amen. All right? We're back in his thoughts. Back in, as I keep saying to you, see, everybody says, well, we're in the mind of God. Well, remember, Judas Iscariot was in the mind of God. Remember, Adolf Hitler was in the mind of God. Remember, everybody that ever be in the world was in the mind of God as far as the mind of knowing what would happen. But I'm not talking about just something he's thinking of. I've told you that. It's not him sitting down, well, I'm going to do it this way, but I better do it this way. I can do it this way, but I can do it. That's us. Amen. He only had one thought. Amen. Brother Brown said he can't have a new thought. Well, so that solves the problem. Amen. Before the world ever begun, he knew what it was going to be because that would be. And then, see, this is not talking about all mankind. And we covered there where Brother Branham was talking about it, how that your souls were back there before the foundation of the world. But he said back before the foundation of the world. All right. So then that's not that everybody, because everybody wasn't back there. We're going to get down to the priest with, in the future home in a minute where Brother Brown said he wasn't back there. Said that's why he didn't have no representation. All right. Well, see, then that's what we're trying to bring. See, when Brother Branham is covering these things, we can make him say what we want him to say by twisting it, but can we take all of what is being said? Because we don't believe in preexistence of souls. Right? Right? You say, yeah, but you just quoted that souls were souls back there before the foundation of the world. Yeah, that's back before the foundation of the world. That's back in eternities. All right. See, then we'll come down to the mind being displayed on earth later, and we'll see that everybody was in the mind of God as far as what he thought of them. But everybody wasn't a part of the mind. It's not, I don't want to be just what he thought of. I want to be part of the one that done the thinking. That's eternal life. Remember, what he thought of doesn't make it eternal. It makes the thought eternal because he can't change it. His thought is eternal, yes, but what he thought of is not eternal because he thought of Judas. He thought of all of the sin. He thought of all the things. He thought of the devil. He thought of all of those things. So that's not eternal. So you have to break that down to be able to understand why Brother Branham would make statements. See, you can take that one statement there, the believer's position in Christ, where he just, everybody's back for the foundation of the world. We're just souls. Well, what soul was back there? There was only one soul back before the foundation of the world. There was only one soul when he was self-existing. There's only one eternal life. So then we're not dealing with two or three different eternal lives. We're dealing with the basis that this man in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, when he said, let us make man, all right, that man was made before the foundation of the world. When God made man, said, let us make man in our image, let us give them, plural, let us make man in our own image, spirit man, and give them dominion. Well, we don't think about Eve being there. We just think it Adam was the part. Am I right? I'm not asking for a raise of hand, but I'm not trying to condemn it. But had you ever thought about that Eve was back there? That Eve was in theophany? I didn't make these statements. The man you claim to be a prophet is the one who made the statements. All right? Now, is that true then? He said, when God created you, he created the man. He created them in a plural, what, male and female. That's not just a natural man of the flesh. That's back before the foundation of the world. And what Adam was, Eve is. All right. Then what did he go on to say? God created you in his image, or created the man in his image, and created the woman in the image of the man for the glory of the man. He made you a theophany just like himself when he said, let us make, to the creatures he had made, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, a theophany. God had never become flesh yet. He was a theophany. Well, what's the problem with dealing with back there? And that Adam was in theophany and so was Eve. All right. So he said, let us, plural, make man, plural, in our own image. Let us make man in our own image. So then when God created man in his, created man, when God made his first man, he was a spirit man. He was something on the order of God or the Son of God. Well, where's the problem then with coming down to the point to where he would say in the Hebrews book, 279 paragraph, Hebrews chapter 2, where he said, because he's talking about the animal, you know, didn't do this, didn't do that, didn't make the animal. But he said, because the soul that was in the man is that theophany. But Brother Dale, you just don't understand my theophany's up. I'm not making these statements. Your prophet is. Questions and answers in Hebrews. Look, when he was first made, he was made two people together. He was made both male and female, the man was. The Bible said he was. God made man both male and female. See, we're just thinking that's out here. Created he him now. When man was separated from theophany and put in flesh, he wasn't just together, altogether there. Part of his being was still in theophany, so it didn't look right. So when Eve come into being, what was it? Brother Brown says, same message. Adam was lonesome, and God separated and brought it down. Watch what she said. She was made in the for the man and part of the man. She was part of him in the beginning in the creation in theophany. She was part of him down here in this creation. She could not be divided in another creation. She had to be made in the same creation. Now he's bringing it to flesh. What had we thought about that Eve was just as important back there as Adam was? Oh, she just hamburger meat. You know, Adam was a big old steak, and she just chilled me. I wasn't the one that made these statements. Your prophet said part of his being, for when he made man, he made two people. And when man was separated from the theophany and put in flesh, he wasn't just altogether there. Part of his being was still in the theophany. Because she was part of him in creation in theophany. So part of Adam was up there still in theophany. Right? We don't think about Eve and theophany and soul and beings. Or do we even think about your soul being your theophany? But you said, but I've always been taught. I know the quotes. I'll be glad to give them to you. But read your Bible. See, if this earthly tabernacle word is off, we have one waiting. The second you die, you step there. It's like that. Is it there waiting on us? Because the Bible says it's eternal in the heavens. That same scripture. So do we have, as I said the other day, do we have eternal life up here? And then we receive eternal life down here. See, there's the mystery that people don't understand about the new birth. Mankind don't understand the new birth. That's why Nicodemus, we laugh at him. But do you understand the new birth? Do you realize that the new birth, you receive eternal life into your soul? To make your soul eternal? Do you realize whatever was in God's mind is coming into you at your new birth, just like it did in Adam in the garden? The Genesis 1:26 man was put into the 2:7, right? What do you think's happening in your new birth? The part of God that we were to be before the world ever begun is given to you at the new birth, making your soul eternal. Then your soul is your theophany. I gave you the quote where the prophet was saying, he said, we have a downward pull that carries down. When unregenerated, they're going down. He said, but we have a upward pull in God going up. You realize the mystery that the prophet taught us was never picked up by anyone? I'm talking about maybe Paul and them had an understanding, yes, but not like this man. This man went back in the back part of God's mind, Christ the mystery. And he picked it up to explain the new birth. The new birth brings God into you. But we always looked at it like this. Oh, one of these days, I hope I'm going over there. I hope I'm eternal. Maybe I'm saved. I had a person in this message one time said, I believe I'm born again, but said, whether I'm right or not, I don't know. I thought the new birth was the bride. I thought that's what it was. I didn't think it was something else. But see, if we got those things in our orders and understanding, are we? See, when he says that if I would have known before there was a world, when we were souls a part of God, not so much that we would know and think and had a being, but we were in his thoughts of what we were before the foundation of the world, because we are a part of him. A part of him. The new birth makes you a part of God. Right? Does that make you another person? Right. And we were talking about chosen in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means that we were right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. That gives an eternal quality to the elect. Page 150, Church Age Book. He chose us. When did he choose us? Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Paragraph 183. When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world, when his great hidden mystery, his great secret. I'm talking about one eternal life. I'm not talking about many. You were chosen of God. You didn't choose yourself. Remember the Bible? No man sought God at any time. And all like, oh, yes, we did. We prayed. We fasted. We cried. The prophet said, no, you didn't. Now, he didn't say you didn't do that. He's saying that that was not what brought God to you. Right? Is that sensible? He was saying your fasting and your praying was not what done it. He said it's whether or not he chose you. Because the Bible says nobody can come to what? Unless the Father what? Draws him. Now, are we in the scripture? Right. See, that's why I like to put it all in the scriptures as well as looking. It says, when did he choose you? El Shaddai, 1959. Before the foundation of the world, when the Lamb was slain. You remember that Sunday? That's what we preached on Sunday. And that was where we're getting into that thought. That he chose us in him. And that's when your name was written on the Lamb's Book of Life. When? Before the foundation of the world. When? When the Lamb died. Then we went into what? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy in the book of Job 38. All right? Brother Brown said, back 10 million years, if I've got eternal life, I was there with him. I was identified with him when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. You remember that? You probably thought that was just some idea that I was bringing. But you see, something took place before the world. And like I said, God is proud of his plan of salvation. He spent 6,000 years trying to tell us about it, right? So is there any problem with him talking to the angels before he created mankind? Because the angels were created first. Is there any problem that before the foundation of the world, that not just in God's mind that he was thinking it, but yet there was literally happening? But that's that one soul that's a multiple form. And I tried my best to explain that. I just can't understand one and in multiple form. Well, how can you understand the bride of Christ? How do you understand the body? The body has many members, but it's one body. That's simple terminologies. All right? But are you listening? Brother Branham goes on into serpent seed, talking about when these morning stars sang together, way back before the foundation of the world. How do we know that wasn't at the same time that the lamb was slain? He said, well, what was back there? What if he was telling the angels about what he was planning on doing? Because remember, there was two groups shouting. Right? Morning stars were singing. The sons of God were shouting for joy. Right? So the angels was happy about what they were doing and they were singing about it. And the sons of God, which are the children of God, were shouting for joy. Well, we must have been back there then. We was that one eternal life. Not this being. That's what he goes on to. Who is this Melchizedek? He goes on. He said, not this being here, but the form of the infinite part of God. It wasn't we was back there running around all over the place. It was the fact that he was allowing us to see. Because why would they be shouting? Sons of God shouting for joy. Who were those sons of God that was shouting for joy? Jesus told them that I had joy with you before the foundation of the world. Who's that? The disciples. The disciples that had what we're going to get to and try to finish up the message. In a minute, they had representation from predestination. All right, we'll get to that in a minute. What did he go on down to adoption and saying? No wonder when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy when they seen the plan of salvation. God putting your name on the book before the foundation of the world. Now I'm reading what he said. I done read these to you, but message of rejected king. You remember this was where the girl was wondering about it in what denomination. But this organization started when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy when they seen the coming of a Savior to redeem mankind. What about it? A lot of things took place before the foundation of the world. But if you put us back there as people, you've messed it totally up. If you put us back there as souls, as individual peoples and things, you've messed the entire thing up. You have no redemption. So what part of us was back there? The only part of you and I that was back there before the foundation of the world is that eternal life that you now have by the new birth. Explain it any other way. Eternal life. A part of God. I thought we believed there's just one true and living God. But what was it then? The plan of redemption. The choosing and then the predestinating. He chose us and then he predestinated us to come. I went back and listened to those two messages yesterday and today. I listened to my own services, not as that good, but try to find out where I got to. You have any problems with your prophets coming predestinated? Remember, gifts and callings are without repentance. Brother Branham didn't repent to become. He didn't get born again to become a prophet. No. That just put his gift into more action as to the new birth. You remember the man said something about Brother Branham. He said, you've been given more gifts than all of the prophets. You know why? He was a prophet chosen of God. He was a Bible prophet that was spoke of to come. Not only that, he was a born-again believer in the body of Christ, which none of your Old Testament prophets were born-again believers. Even John the Baptist was not a born-again believer. Not only that, he was a church-age messenger. How much more do you want to add to what he was to see that that man was right when he said, you've been given more? Gifts and callings are without repentance, and they can be predestinated, because remember why? It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God, but the word or seed. See, there had to be a Malachi 4. It had been written in the Bible. There had to be a fourth, time of Malachi 4 because it was written in the Bible. There had to be those things. Why? Because they were predetermined to be. I hope you understand what I mean. Brother Branham didn't get born again to become a prophet. He was a prophet from the beginning because he was predestinated to be that. The gift was not because he was born again. The gift was because God predetermined it to be. Well, why can't we believe that when the Bible would say, Jeremiah, I knew thee and ordained thee as a prophet before the world? Why can't we believe it? Why can't we get away from our little ideas? But Brother Dale, I just can't see that theophany because I've always believed mine was up yonder. All right. And I don't want to get tied up in predestination because I just can't understand it. Because one time it looked like he predetermined me, and the other time it looked like he didn't. Well, you might find out one of these days all those things might be halfway true or all the way true. Because that's what I'm trying to do, make it simple. But to make it simple in the basis of seeing what? That God had a plan and a purpose that he was going to see achieved. This didn't happen haphazardly that he said, okay, I'll make man. Uh-oh, they went wrong. I got to do something now. Why did he stand as a lamb slain before the world if that's true? Come on, church, if we just really get out of our own little baby petty thinkings and think like God does. Like I tried my best to express something to you one day of Adam in the garden when he sinned. You realize 1 second in the presence of God with sin and you're annihilated, right? Am I right? But how come Adam didn't die? How come Adam didn't die? How come Eve didn't die the second they sinned? Because before the foundation of the world, he'd already stood as a lamb. So the lamb was standing in the garden. Then the lamb had to be displayed by God himself taking the skins off of those animals and giving them to Adam and Eve to make an atonement. With no haphazard thing. This just didn't happen, and maybe it's going to work out right. No, he knew the whole thing. Listen. Then we got down to this last part where we'll try to cover from it. Did we talk about us being a predestinated seed? And I believe that. I believe that it's a predestinated seed. I just don't believe it the way people interpret it. And they're interpreting actually the direct quotes that Brother Branham would say. But what do you mean? I can read in Matthew 28:19 that I'm supposed to baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I can read in Acts 2:38 that I'm supposed to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, see, we found out both them saying the same thing. It's not that as I said there the other day, and I've heard it, people say, we take Matthew 28:19 for our baptism, but the denominations take Acts 2, Matthew 28:19, we take Acts 2:38. Now, that's as dumb as you can be. I mean, sorry for the wording. That's making direct contradictions in the Word of God. How can Brother Branham say you always was eternal and then turn around and say you must receive eternal life? I believe both of them's right. How can you say that your souls were before the foundation of the world, but yet before the foundation of the world, he didn't believe in preexistence of souls? I believe both of them's right. I'm not trying to correct Brother Branham. I'm trying to get you and I to see something by revelation that both of them will be right. With our own ideas and thoughts, we put it to what we want because we take what we used to believe. Come on, if you think it ain't right, you start talking to somebody about water baptism. Come on, what happens? What's the first thing that happens when you start talking about water baptism? Now, I'd say 99% of the time it'll happen. Not every one of them, but what happens? You start talking to them about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do they say? You mean my mama wasn't saved? Come on. You ain't said nothing about mama. You ain't mentioned mama. But why are they talking about it? Because they know mama was baptized some other way. And to them, you're saying she's lost. No, you're just saying mama didn't understand. That mama was okay because she was in a day when it wasn't responsible. But now we're responsible. But why is it to people automatically? Are you telling me I'm lost? Like I told you about that brother one time here, he's done something. And I said, brother, I said, Christians don't act like that. Are you telling me I ain't saved? I said, no. I'm telling you, Christians don't act like that. All right. He went off and told everybody, I said, he's lost. I didn't say he's lost. He's the one who said he's lost. I didn't say it. He's the one who said it. Because I said, no, I ain't saying you're lost. I'm just saying Christians don't act like that. Well, that's up to his choice then to find out what's going on. All right. But what about a predestinated seed? What about a predestinated seed predestinated eternally? So now we're away from mankind, right? Because we're with the quote 154 Church Age book. It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally, but it's the seed or word. Amen. So we're totally away from all of this you're looking at. Get it out of your mind. Stay back there with me of where we're at. Because these are the things that I love the prophet. And you think this is something I... No, I've been preaching this 40 years, over 40 years. Look what he says. Let's start and we'll read a little bit. Because we use some of these Sunday, but... Well, let me go down so far and then we'll start picking it up. This is off the message, Taking Sides with Jesus. And he's talking about the seed was laying there, ready. God sowed it back under before the foundation of the world. Now, he sowed it. What was it? The seed was laying there. When the man said, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of God, you're the King of Israel, light struck. But look, the seed was laying there ready. God sowed it back under before the foundation of the world, that it should bring forth light right at the time, that time. All right? Look at the next one. Let's go ahead and run these through. Why Christ speak? 1963:7-14, and look what he said. See, the seed of God actually placed in, seed of God is actually placed in us from the foundation of the world. And when the light first strikes that seed, it brings it to life. But the life first has to come upon the seed. Seed is no good without life. We'll get to those things. But that's sensible. All right. But when was it put there? It was actually placed in us. Now, what was before the world? Come on, we believe the Lamb stood He stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We believe that, right? All right. We believe that names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. We believe that. We believe there's only one eternal. We believe that. Right? So then when was the seed planted? I come in the world with this seed in me, Brother Dale, and you can't tell me nothing else. I'm not going to try to tell you nothing else. I'm going to tell you what Brother Branham said. He said it was put there before the foundation of the world. Now, where do you believe in preexistence? I believe in preexistence of eternal life. Yes, sirree. I believe in preexistence of the 1:26 and 27 man, which is eternal life. I believe in preexistence of the Christ. I believe that. I believe in preexistence of the Word. I believe that. Why? Because it's true. But when was it put there? It's actually placed in us from the foundation of the world. Well, that's like I told them years ago. If you're going to say, I come into the world with this seed, I said, where's it at? Was it in your body? Was it in your spirit, your soul, where it was in? And see, I said, why don't you go back where Brother Branham put it there? Where he tells it was put there. Go ahead with the next one, which is, let's see. Wait a minute, back up to number 3. We got to get down to the bottom of it. Or is that it? Paragraph 108. Yeah, this one, excuse me. Hang on to that one. Hang on to where you were. Run back up to the 108. Awful white cry. I esteem that so highly because God in his mercy, before the foundation of the world, saw me and placed a little seed in there that my faith would fly above these things of the world. And now he's called me and I regard my place before the foundation of the world. Go ahead to the next one. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He says you're already his by predestination. You're already his. You can read all up and down before. Let's read it at the same time. It said the seed was already. When was it put there? Before the foundation of the world has predestinated us unto eternal life. Now, if you're going to believe the seed's put anywhere, start off before the foundation of the world. All right, then we'll drop down to earth to see what that is. Because that's where I ended up Sunday. Just get it back for the foundation of the world. And then you don't have pre-existences. You have pre-existence of eternal life. You don't have pre-existence of people. Yes, but Brother Dale, what was put in me when I come into the world? That was where we stopped off at. So go ahead to number 6, which is proving his word. Look what he said. He's talking to the woman, said, you've had 5, you know, and all that. Look, something happened, see. Something took life. Now, if it hadn't have been in there to begin with, if she hadn't have had representation from predestination, it never took hold. There stood the priest. There said, this man is Beelzebub. See, no representation. Eternal life, you always was. And you have eternal life, you have eternal life, there's only one form of it, that's God. You were his attribute. He thought of you and knowed you before the foundation of the world in his mind. Now, back up to here where we got the message from. She had representation from predestination. All right? If it hadn't have been back there, it would have never took hold. Now where you're at, what was her representation? I tapped his Sunday and then stopped. What was her representation from predestination? What was her representation from predestination? And then you'll know what other thing works on. Her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Right? So she had representation from the predestination. Her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. It never will be written there. If it wasn't there to start with, it never will be there. So now what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say simply, what did the prophet say? She had representation from predestination, but the priest, who knew everything about the letter of the word, but had no representation. What was her representation? A prostitute. Right? Come on. I'm talking about physically, literally. The priest was greater than her. He had representation by understanding the Word of God. She was a prostitute. No understanding but one thing. What does she say? That's the reason I use her as the writing. What does she say? We know that when the Messiah cometh. Now, do you need me to find this for you? You know where Brother Brown said she got that from? He said she got it from her mother. That when the Messiah cometh, he'll do these things. Just said, where did Moses get his part? We're down here on earth. He got it from his mother. But don't worry about it, because I know when you're blind, you're blind. I quoted that to a man one time, and he jumped down my throat. I was there speaking. He literally jumped down my throat. He said, I'm tired of this old mother whore doctrine that you got it from the mama. I said, all I told you is what Brother Branham said. Yes, but I'm tired of that because that's that old mother whore stuff. I said, it may be what you think about it, but it ain't what Brother Branham said. All right. But she had representation from predestination. And a little woman, her life here, up here, she was a prostitute. Paragraph 132, back down. Right, okay. Now this little woman, her first life up here was a prostitute. She was all marred up. But way down in her, here was just a little bit of understanding. I know when the Messiah cometh. You know what was given birth to her? Not there. She was not given eternal life when she made the statement there, because Jesus Christ had not died yet. But the Word had been revealed. You can have the Word revealed to you and not have eternal life. But if you really get the Word revealed to you and it's truly revealed to you, it will bring eternal life. That's where people don't understand Brother Branham. He says, there see the little woman at the well. He said, she had eternal life. He said, it was quickened to her. What's he meaning? He knows she didn't get eternal life by doing that. Not there. She got eternal life in the upper room. I believe she is one of them. But you know what was giving birth to her in the upper room? I know when the Messiah cometh. What was given birth to Martin Luther? The just shall live by faith. What was given birth to you? What was given birth on the day of Pentecost to the people in the upper room? The Word they had taken, and according to Jesus, had heard it and kept it. And the day of Pentecost, it was made alive to them. And Peter had already said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That did not give him the new birth. But where was he when the new birth came? He knew he was on church. How much? But the priest had no representation. The little woman had nothing to present. She was filthy and dirty as she could be. Why didn't the priest get it? I'm just running down the page reading. He had no representation. What did it do to him? What did it do to her? Brought her to eternal life. What did it do to him? The priest, what did it do to him? It sent him right back to his destination. He had nothing to begin with, only intellectual learning. Watch. Listen, friend, if the only thing that you've got is a just intellectual learning, you get something different from that. And you'll never be able to get it unless you got representation. What did the little woman have? What did you have? I thought we believed what I preached the other day. I thought you did. That we were chosen in Him. That when He was chosen, you and I were chosen. I thought we believed that when He came to earth, we came to earth with Him. I thought we believed that when He died, we died with Him. I thought we believed that when He raised, we raised with Him. I thought we believed that. So there's your representation. What did a little woman have? A little understanding that she believed. Why? Because that connected all the way back to the eternities where Jesus was chosen and her name was written on the Lamb's Book of Life. My representation is from predestination in the basis that He, before the world, died for my sins. And that I was a part of Him back there. Not this physical being, not this body, not this soul of beings that we are. But the real, true eternal life. And you explain to me why that these doctrines and the message, that they get all of this eternal seeds and all of these things, and they got all these ideas, always what, and you follow them for a while and see if they don't wind up in the bed of adultery. You want to sit down and talk and call names? I don't like to, but it's there. I told you about the man that said he had a seed to plant. He did. He planted it in a young girl. Because he believed his dream was a seed to plant a seed. I told him, I said, you misunderstood. Any preacher ought to have enough sense to know that a preacher plants a seed. He's planting the word as he preaches. That's not a literal seed for you to go plant somewhere. Of course, he didn't believe it. Where was it that he didn't have no representation? Roll on over to number 9. Let's read this one. In the Message, Jehovah Jireh, 1964, 404. Now we notice, no matter what the others done, how they walked away, those disciples were predestinated. They were ordained to eternal life. No, they couldn't explain it. They couldn't explain it, no more than the rest of them could. But there was something in them that representation were. Where was the disciples' representation? In heaven. A thought that God had of them before the foundation of the world had manifested itself right, had manifested itself here, and they were connected with God and were sure that that was God's promise, vindicated, and nothing is going to change it from them. That's real, genuine Christianity. Representation in Heaven, that's the title of the message. Number 10 talks about the little woman. She had fallen from God's thoughts. She could be redeemed. She was a subject. She had representation in heaven. She turned around. She had representation in heaven. She was an express attribute. That's why she could come to that place. Why didn't the priest? He had no representation of predestination. Only the predestinated will only be the ones who does it. Only can be. And you, because look, it proves predestination. Because if you've got eternal life, you had to be a part of God all times. Because He's the only one is eternal. You see? Proving His word. Number 12. The high priest had no representation in heaven, or the priest that was there. But watch what he goes on now. I'll try to bring it down to a close. Look what he says on Sirs, no, wait a minute, let's go on down. Let's read that one. Number 13, Sirs, we would see Jesus, 1964, 304. Now, if you were in his thinking at the beginning, if you've got eternal life, there is only one form of eternal life. Eternal life had no beginning and has no ending. So if you have eternal life, you were an attribute of God's thinking before there was anything but him. Okay? Now let's end it with this one. Number 14, who is this Melchizedek? I quoted a moment ago. Those who have eternal life tonight was with him and in him, in his thinking, before there ever was an angel, star, cherubim, or anything else. That's eternal. And if you have eternal life, you always was not your being here, but the shape and form that the infinite God. Not your being here. Brother Dale, what do we need? To get salvation, we need one thing. First, we need representation in heaven. We need representation in heaven first. We need to realize that something did happen before the foundation of the world, and that God thought so much of it until he wrote a book and put the names in. And that evidently back there, it's been removed from our minds, but evidently we had to be back there as part of that eternal life, part of him, and that we were shouting about the plan of salvation. Shouting about our names being written on the book of the life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That gives an eternal quality to the elect. But just remember what we just read. The little woman had failed from somewhere so she could be redeemed. We'll pick this up in the next message. If we didn't fall from eternal life, how can you be redeemed? And how would it be that you fell from eternal life? Can you lose eternal life? Is God an Indian giver? Did he take away from Adam the eternal life that Adam had in his soul? No, he stopped him from coming to the position of his body being made eternal. But see, you and I wasn't Adam. We were just represented there. He didn't come into the world lost and needing a Savior. He came into the world perfect and had eternal life in his soul. He slid from the position, but he could be redeemed. You and I were not just a thought in God's mind of his thinking or whatever. We were a part of his mind, but we couldn't come that way. Now, may I quote, who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham said, Jesus come word, body, theophany. He came word, body, right? The word body stood there and created the world. You and I never stood in that place. Jesus Christ stood in that place to create a world. All things were created by him and for him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. Am I quoting scriptures? Who is the creator? Jesus Christ. He come that away and created. He was in a word body. Remember, the theophany is a word body. Who is this Melchizedek, if you'll listen to it? But he said, we bypassed that. What? The word body. Now, let me say something to you for you to think about. As I said, it's not a 285 journey going around Atlanta. We just never come that way. We never made it to a word body to where that you couldn't fall if you'd done that. He made it to the word body coming down, the Son of God, the Logos, to create all things, the theophany of God. And we bypassed coming the way he came. We came to flesh to be tempted of sin. But just remember, may I quote Brother Branham, if you never was back there, you never will be back there. Do you need that quote? He said, if you wasn't part of the words, you'll never be part of the word. So remember, the statement is right. See, everybody wants bypass, like put out something and run around it. Don't even fool with thinking that away. The fool with the fact, just thinking that you didn't come that away. But now think about something. If you think I haven't been right in these 7 or 8 messages that I've dealt just on the fact of eternal life before the foundation of the world, I want to ask you one simple question. Do you believe the prophet? And you don't have to answer me with that. I'm just asking you the question. But when the prophet said, we bypassed the theophany, we come straight from God to be tempted. And we become the word here. I thought that's what the stature of a perfect man was us becoming the word. But did you catch what I said? Did you catch what your prophet said? He said, we bypassed it. So then, if you think it's even something was sitting out there and you went around it, just remember it says, you bypassed it. So I'm right what I've taught. And don't worry about it. That eternal life was before the foundation of the world. And that's the eternal life that's in my soul by the new birth. It's just caught up with me. I didn't get to come the way he came. Because he came word body first. But I thought we believed that we were co-equal. I thought we believed scriptures that says we're co-equal with the Father. Come on. What is that scripture saying? Join ours with Jesus Christ, but you're supposed to be co-equal with the Father. The eternal life you have was before the foundation of the world, but you had to receive it before you could have it. That's sensible. We'll get to those things later. But yet remember, that's why Brother Branham said, don't you realize and remember when you was a kid or something coming down through there and you remember them things and something was dealing with you? I didn't say these things. But if you bypass your theophany, then you had to be in eternity. Right? Come on, what's a sensible statement? Everybody says I'm so deep and so intellectual and so. What's the statement? Sister Gail, if you come around a theophany or didn't come in that theophany, but yet you got here and received it here, then it meant you was back there. That's right. Not as your body, spirit, and soul of Gail Addison. That's right. Right. But the part of eternal life that always was eternal. Right. Are you following me? Yeah. Here was before the world. Here was what we should have come. Did we come around it? Don't worry, I ain't going to argue with you. But I'm going to say one thing. If you become it here, then it means one thing for sure. I had representation from predestination there, or I'll never be there. There's eternal life. There's what the little woman had. She had representation. Her name was written on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. What about you? Well, Brother Dale, I don't know where the mind's on or not. Well, then I'd start praying. And I'd never stop until it was finished. How many times have I made this statement? I'd rather go through all the way through life praying, crying out to God for him to fill me with the Holy Ghost and get the end of the road, and he says you had it all the time. I'd heap rather do that than to go through life and not seek after it because of some religious idea I had and wind up at the end, and he said, depart from me, I never knew you. What's wrong with seeking God? I went to a church one time and I preached justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. at the end of when it was over with, and a month later, I found out the brother was mad at me for what I had preached. I went to his church. I went to him. I said, "What's wrong? What are you mad about?" "I'm mad about what you preached to my people." I said, "You don't believe in justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost?" I said, "You was a Pentecostal before you come in this message. You're supposed to believe that." He said, "Yeah, that's all right." I said, "You got my people seeking God." I said, "Hold on just a minute." I said, "I come over here to apologize for preaching to you, you know, preaching in your church something you didn't believe. But I said, I'll never apologize for trying to get people to seek after God." I said, "I'm leaving. I'm going home." But I ain't going to apologize for trying to get somebody to seek God. I apologize for something I say maybe that you don't agree with or whatever. I apologize. That's fine. But I ain't going to apologize because I want my kids. I want my grandkids. I want my wife. I want my great-grandkids. I want my whole family. I ain't never taught that they're going just because they're mine. I've taught they must have an experience of their own. We're not talking about the little babies we were talking to start with. Brother Branham answered that question. That's finished. I'm talking about my family must have, my wife must have her own experience. My children must have their own experience. My grandchildren must have their own experience of salvation. My great-grandchildren must have it. Not just because of me being pastor. That makes it worse. Because they'll depend on that and say, "Well, granddaddy, daddy made it," or, you know, You better get serious about seeking God. And know for a surety, the Bible says, examine yourself, see whether you're in the faith or not. Well, I believe the message. We're in the days when a prophet explained to us that you can have the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell. Do signs and wonders, great things can happen, all kind of gifts and miracles working, and still be lost. Don't depend upon nothing like that. Depend on the Word. Depend on the Word. What it says? It says you must be born again. Don't you think that if anybody should have had any form of representation, don't you think Nicodemus should have had some? Great ruler, great teacher, and all of the things. I like what Brother Branham had to say about it. He said Nicodemus and Gamaliel would, what? They would receive eternal life for their stand that they made. But he never put them in the bride. And you find it. He said Nicodemus and him, and who had a great understanding of the Word, yet he couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about. You must be born again. What am I supposed to do? What do you mean born again? My records is right. I was yesterday coming back home from hunting and listening. Where Brother Brown said them Jews, he said, back there with Moses, he said, they said, "I ain't putting that blood on my doorpost." He said, "Because I can prove to you that I'm a circumcised Jew under the covenant." Brother Brown said, "That didn't have nothing to do with it." He said, "Circumcising of the flesh," listen, he said, "had nothing to do with their soul." What is our soul? The real you. Look at David. "My soul thirsteth after thee." Man would cry out, just weep about his own life and things. But yet, he could not be born again. There wasn't no new birth back there. That 1:26 and 27 man come over to the day of Pentecost to start back to coming into view. eternal life. Come on, musicians. See, I was trying to get you to see representation from predestination. Her name was written on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. If not, it never will be written there. And by it being written there, she would come to it. Right? She would come to that place to receive eternal life. She believed what her mama said. Moses must have believed what his mama said. He went out one day and tried it. Tried to free him of what mama said. Right? But you know what I love, what Brother Branham would say? He said, Moses, born with all of these gifts. Right? He said, but 1 minute, or 5 minutes maybe, he said, before the burning bush meant more to him than all that his mama had ever said or anybody had ever taught him. All he could read, all of his great understanding, one, just a little minute in the front of a burning bush. Have you ever had a burning bush experience? You ever had a new birth? Well, I believe the message. That's just, I mean, I quoted, I was listening to him yesterday, Tolkien. He said, that's just being able to read. That's just being able to read. Why? Because anybody, Brother Don Ruddle, I used to love the way he'd state things, and he made a good point. He said, anybody with one eye and half sense ought to believe that out of life. Because I think there just ain't no way to get in changing that no other way. If you just one eyed and half sense, ought to believe that. What do you think about your representation? See, I was represented in heaven before the world ever begun. The proof I was is because now I'm here with eternal life in my soul, trying to represent that to get you to see that. Well, if you believe in predestination, just don't worry about it. It's going to be. Mm-mm. If the little woman at the well hadn't heard from her mother, where do you think she would have been? She would have run away from the man that was talking to her. Right? Been scared to death, but when he said that, she remembered her mother. One day the Messiah will come. It'll happen one of these days and you'll recognize it, that you must first hear the word. There's never been a person in the Bible or anywhere that's ever been born again that never first heard the word. Now, I didn't say read it or do it. Somebody told you, somebody said something. You've got to have the seed planted before you can have the birth. Right? Let's stand. What do we got?
41, spiral boom. Wings of a dove. Noah had dreamed.
Anybody have a need? On the floods many days. He searched for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but not from above. God gave him his sign. On the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove,
God sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings
Lord Jesus.
Of a dove.
He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Father, our brother's got a hurt and really giving him a lot of trouble right here in this place. And we just condemn that demon of hurting in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Do you believe it? Rejected, but not from above. God gave us His Son on the wings of the dove. Sing it unto Him and think about Him. On the wings of a snow-white dove, God sent His pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wing. Now here's a man that had a personal experience. So listen to him. Though I have suffered in many a way. What did he say? He said, put your name. He was wounded for Samuel Dale. Put your name there. That's what he's doing.
Faith was for God.
He's telling what happened to him. Put your name there and say, by stripes I'm healed. And believe it.
He gave us His Son
on the wings of. On the wings of a dove. Amen. Do you love Him? Of a snow-white dove. God sends His pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove. Amen and amen and amen. Wings of a dove, right? Let's just sing one more. Let's sing that 42 up there. I feel like traveling on. Let's just do that one, okay? Because I do feel like it, don't you?
My heaven, my
heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling. Do you feel like it? See, the word is here for us to travel.
Nor pain or death can
enter there.
I feel like traveling on.
Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel. Go ahead and describe that home. Its glittering towers, the sun outshines. I feel like traveling home. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling home. Yes, I feel like traveling home. Feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Now let's let the rest of the world do this. Another seeker home below. I feel like traveling on. With flames devour and wave. Do you?
Traveling on.
Do Let's shake hands with one another and sing that. Tell each other, I feel like traveling on.
I feel like traveling on.
Hands and sing this to
the
it.
The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on until that blessed
future
home I see. I feel like traveling on.
Yes, I feel. You're dismissed. Like sing that to one another as you leave.
I feel like traveling.